Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Carol Dean, author of The Art of Film Funding and faculty member of the New York Film Academy, will soon begin a new session of her uniquely creative intentional filmmaking class. Intentional filmmakers are taught current financing and marketing and distribution techniques. We each focus on creating and achieving our goals by using our intentions and our skills. There are three classes: the Mastermind class taught with Tom Malloy for features, Carol's Trailblazers class for documentary films in early stages, and her Pathfinders class for documentary films in later stages of production. The class size is limited, and there is a discount for early enrollment. Call Carol at 805-984-0098 for more information and visit FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Sarah Pan, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Our guest today is John Tregonis, an independent filmmaker and successful crowdfunder himself. He's literally written a book called Crowdfunding for Filmmakers, which we'll be covering today. And he now works with Indiegogo as the funding platform's manager of film and video campaigns. Carol, this is pretty extensive, his work with crowdfunding. And as a partner with Indiegogo for over 2 years, you being that partner for over 2 years, what do you think of John's book?
I think it's brilliant. I really do, Claire. He's given us a clear outline on how to create a successful campaign. And thank you, John, for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure.
Good. Well, we found that there are a lot of blogs on crowdfunding, and most of them will give you tips on current campaigns and what they're doing, but no one but you, to my knowledge, has answered as many questions as you do in crowdfunding for filmmakers. So I'd like to use your book today as a guide, and I wanted to start with your chapter 5, deciding if crowdfunding is right for your film project. So how do you make that decision, John?
Well, a lot of times, I mean, you know, I can definitely speak from a lot of experience as a successful crowdfunder and also as, working with Indiegogo. I see a lot of filmmakers every day wanting to raise funds for their project. I like to believe that any project is absolutely right for crowdfunding, from the $5,000 short film, like what I was trying to raise funds for, all the way to the, $5 million blockbuster. But the key thing is, people definitely have to realize what crowdfunding is about, and crowdfunding is really always about gaining the community's attention, getting people engaged enough to then give you the money that you need. So one of the first things to judge whether or not your project is right for crowdfunding is, what is your social currency like? You know, how much do you engage with people on a regular basis? Because, one of the things that people shouldn't really do, but occasionally I do see, is they'll start a crowdfunding campaign and then they'll launch a Facebook page right on the same day, and then they'll launch a Twitter right on the same day. And right there it just shows that you're not necessarily into the community, you're actually more into yourself. As a filmmaker, you only maybe care about your films when it's a community thing that needs to be garnered first. If that happens, if you start becoming a part of the community a few months beforehand and you have a film project, number one, I will say crowdfunding your film is absolutely right for you. That's only one of many, other factors like you know, how much, you know, funding you're actually looking for, whether it's for, you know, post-production only, whether it's to shoot the film, whether it's for pre-production. So you can also fundraise in stages. But, you know, no matter what, you have to have some bit of crowd together already in place. It doesn't have to be huge. It just has to be a passionate audience that wants to see your film get made. And if you have that, then you can definitely take your film and go for it, crowdfund it.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, identifying your crowd and attaching it to your film. Can you give us some advice on that one?
Definitely. Number one, you know, I talk a lot, especially in my book, I talk a lot about the online world because crowdfunding, I mean, without social media, crowdfunding probably wouldn't exist because then it would just be regular fundraising and we'd all have to, like, you know, do these big massive parties and invite all these big investors over for, you know, $50 glasses of wine so they give us $500,000. So crowdfunding is literally pooling funds together from large amounts of people, and those amounts are usually going to be modest and small to relatively large. And one of the ways to engage an audience is, again, going on websites like Facebook, like Twitter, and instead of just tweeting about your day, you know, the breakfast that you had, Instagramming your cat. I'm notorious for cat Instagrams. You know, you have to also show that you're giving value to people. So what that means is if you're making a horror movie, for example, you want to follow a bunch of other filmmakers who are doing horror films. If you're specifically doing zombie horror, then follow, you know, on Twitter, it's very easy. You can just hashtag the word zombie, and all of a sudden, you will be in conversation with people, probably thousands of people, using the word zombie in their tweets, talking about zombies. And right there, you want to get engaged. You want to put a little insight. If they're talking about a George Romero film, put your two cents in. You know, retweet people when they post articles from like The Wrap or Deadline.com or you know, again, in the case of horror, you'll want to follow blogs like, you know, Rue Morgue and all that. And instead of just being a passive reader, you want to be an active sharer. You read it, you share it, you put a little comment so people know that you actually took the time to read it. Then you'll get more followers, the following grows, and that is kind of one way to get involved and build up your audience so that you actually have an audience so that when you say to them, I have an idea for a hashtag zombie film, people will actually care enough to say, really, what's it about? Are you going to crowdfund? What are you shooting on? And all of a sudden you have that engagement. And those are going to be the first people who are probably going to give you some funding, is these people that you've gotten to know virtually, in reality, et cetera. Other ways to do it, of course, just very briefly, is, you know, with blogs, there's one thing is to, you know, share it on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, et cetera, but then it's another thing to actually engage yourself inside of the world of the blog. So if you're reading, you know, articles from, you know, Rue Morgue, you know, comment right on those articles and then check back so that you can have ongoing dialogues with people so they know you're not just into social media, you're into just about everything that's related to horror or whatever the genre is. And that's why Twitter is a very fascinating tool, because you can easily find that where those genres are just using the hashtags. The hard part is engaging on a regular basis and being basically becoming an authority on whatever subject you're talking about.
Well, let's talk about how you would do that in the documentary field. I mean, I think that's brilliant advice for features. So if in documentaries, is there a way to put a hashtag documentary and then the content after that or something?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one way to do it. Documentary is an interesting thing, because with documentary, you're going to tap into the documentary film community, but you also want to tap into the world that your documentary is about. And that's where there's some true power to be had. Because, again, if you're making a documentary on, people who are, you know, using prescription medication, right, you have a whole world out there of people who are, basically writing about this. I mean, you know, and we have like one documentary campaign right now we have is on Indiegogo called Letters from Generation X, and that's why I kind of mentioned that whole world because, again, you know, they made up their own hashtag. It's called GenRX, hashtag GenRX, G-E-N-R-X. And basically, you know, that when I tap into that, I can see all of their tweets, and then I can see the people who are engaging with them. So they're tapping into an audience. If you're talking about drugs like, you know, prescription medication and that kind of thing, you can hashtag RX, and it taps you into a community. The only difficult part is to find out what those communities are sometimes called, but usually a Google search can kind of help that out. But yeah, documentary is a vast world of possibility because you not only, again, it's one of those few fields that you can tap into the film world, but you also have to really tap into and get to know your audience, the people who actually care about the subject of your documentary. And that subject can be its own audience. So really, you know, in one way, it's kind of double the work because you have two audiences that you can be a part of. But then it's double the pleasure when you're going into crowdfunding because then you have that many more people who can be more invested in the project to actually give funds to it.
This is a key to success. And when I start telling people that they need to build their numbers, people call and say that they want to do a campaign, they want to raise $10,000, and you say, well, how many names do you have on your mailing list? And they say 100, and you say, okay, well, I think you have to really build a little more community before you start campaigning to get your 10,000, because that's an easy number to hit, but you've got to have a stronger base. And then they say, oh, but no, they're going to give it to their friends, and this will happen, and that will happen. And so I find that it's really based on the number of names that you have that you have control over. How about you? What do you think about this?
I think you're absolutely right in that sense. I mean, you know, I see it a lot. You know, people kind of, they come to me and they'll tell me, like, they want to raise a big number, more than 10,000 a lot of times, you know. Sometimes it's 50,000. And the first thing I always do, it's the first question I ask is, what's your social media presence? What's your community? Like, I go to the email, but, you know, like, I mean, I'm very bad with email. My email list is terrible. And it was that way when I crowdfunded. And, you know, again, I only wanted, you know, I was only looking for $5,000. But like 70% of my funding actually came from Twitter, of all things. Twitter has given me basically my whole life as it is right now, so I'm very big into Twitter. And when I say that, you know, 70% came from them, I spent 9 months really working at Twitter. And I didn't even know why I was doing it. I was just there having a good time talking to filmmakers. And then 9 months later, I found out what crowdfunding even was. And I was like, oh, maybe I can try this. And I'm telling you, people were just, because of that relationship that I built up organically and giving them good content, sharing all the time, sharing any insights on writing, I'd share. They were the first people giving me $25, $50. But, you know, so no matter what, when you run a campaign, the first funding is always going to come from your friends, family, and supporters, prior supporters of your other work, right?
Right.
Whether you're a big Hollywood producer or whether you're John Travolta's here, you know, on the very low end of film, right? You know, you still have to rely on that core group to give you the love money that you're going to need to show other people, random people, that this project is great. And it takes a lot to build. If you have a great email list, you have to reach out to them a week before you launch. You have to let them know that you're going to be asking them for money. Now, I hate using that phrase. I don't hate many things in life, but I hate using that specific phrase of asking for money because that's not what crowdfunding is about. Crowdfunding is about inviting people to be a part of your project. And you just happen to be, you know, looking for a little bit of contribution money, a share. There's so much more you can get out of crowdfunding than just the funding. But it starts with that crowd. I mean, I can never say it enough. Because even though I say it all the time, people will still come to me and like, yeah, I just really want the money. And in my mind, I'm kind of like, we need to talk a little bit then. You know, let's have a drink. We'll talk about this. And then after that drink, I usually have them understanding that crowdfunding is number one, crowd, number two, funding. The word itself is proof of what it is.
Exactly. Well, what about, do you put much stock into Facebook? I mean, have you built a big Facebook community, and did that help you in your crowdfunding?
Yes, it did. Like I said, my email list was basically, I mean, I can count on my one hand, and the number is 3 people who contributed from my email list. Everything else came from Twitter, the majority of it, and then Facebook was the next one, mainly from former students. I was a professor for 12 years about before I joined the crowdfunding world in Indiegogo. And, you know how former students are. They think it's cool when you add your professor on Facebook. And, you know, basically when I was crowdfunding, they were also among the first people to give me money. And I questioned a few of them because I was blown away by some of them giving me $50 and $100. Because I don't know about you, but when I was in college, I didn't have $50. I had maybe 10, and that was enough to get me, you know, a lunch, and I could only eat 3 times out of a week. So I would question them, and they said, no, we really like the project, and we want to thank you for this. This is my way of thanking you for those, you know, 2 classes that you taught me, you know. And so it was from, you know, a lot of former students of mine, definitely my family, you know, who've been supportive of me all the time. And I see this constantly. I see a lot of people. There's entire Facebook tactics that people go into. I go into a few of them in my book, some that are a little, you know, dirty. Well, I consider dirty, but they really worked. And then others that are just kind of like standard, you know, just basically reaching out to people, being a person. You know, I have a phrase in my book when it comes to promotion on Facebook and Twitter where you have to be a person before you're a petition, because nobody wants to meet someone for the first time, and before the handshake, it's already they got their hand out looking for the handout, you know, for the funding. And, you know, people just, you know, what do we do with those people? Naturally, we get rid of them. We don't want to talk to them because it's just disrespectful. You gotta kind of court us a little bit. You gotta talk to us. You know, make us think you're worth whatever you're gonna ask us for later.
Exactly.
You know, and Facebook is great for that.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, okay, well, the next thing I wanted to cover was in your book you talk about building your crowdfunding team. So when I tell people they need support, that Indiegogo says you get 400% more return on your investment if you have a team of 4, then mm-hmm. they say, well, what do I look for? What qualities and what traits do you recommend that people have to be on the team for the crowdfunding?
Oh, great question. So what I usually see is, and again, this is coming from a guy who had a team of like literally 2 people doing the work. So now I see a lot more team members. And the things that I tell people to look for is, number one, filmmakers are not necessarily the best marketers. This is changing because I think, especially at the independent level, we're realizing that we can have the best film in the world, but if we don't put it out there and promote it in the right ways, nobody is ever going to see this film. So we're learning it, but we're still kind of not so great at it. So you find somebody who understands marketing, specifically social media marketing. You know, somebody who's going to be there. I always say that it's important for the filmmaker to be the face of the campaign, so they should definitely be out there as well. I mean, if you have a Facebook page for your film, that's great. But, you know, you probably don't have, you know, 2,000 likes on there right away. You have to build that up. So you're going to have to use your personal account. And that's what the filmmaker should do, is use their personal account, promote it, because they probably have a lot more friends than their movie has likes. But if you can get a social media person to handle the Facebook page and the Twitter account, then you as the filmmaker can handle just basically being you, being a filmmaker, and just every now and then talking to people and spreading the word about your campaign and your film. But a social media person is key.
Excuse
a PMD.
What would that person do specifically?
they would basically be in charge of it could be one or two things. Number one, they can just basically schedule some tweets for the day and put it out there, which I'm not a big fan of because, you know, when I see people scheduling tweets, I can tell, you know, just by reading the tweets, I know that it's scheduled. Or they can really strategize a social media plan, which basically means when they, you know, the wording is very, very key, very exact. It's important that a social media person doesn't just tweet constantly about the project. They have to kind of also still be building the social proof element, so that random people who stumble upon this campaign will look at their other tweets and see that they're tweeting, you know, let's say a Rain Dance Film Festival link to a great blog post about crowdfunding or about film. And then they're talking, you know, they're tweeting other influencers in the film space, and they're having conversations with those influencers. Because again, the Twitter world especially and the social media landscape of indie film is huge, but at the same time, it's tiny. Everybody knows everybody here. Everybody knows who the influencers are, and that's how you build social proof. You want to engage with those people. You want to listen to what they say. You want to learn, and you also want to share. That all has to be done before the campaign, during the campaign, after the campaign, and most importantly, in between campaigns. It's a never-ending story. Because I've seen filmmakers, they're very active on social, they're talking about great things during the campaign, but once they go to shoot, they're like missing in action for like 2 months. And then they expect to come back and just pick up, and it doesn't work that way. Where were you? Why weren't you tweeting while you were shooting? I would love to see a photo of the set. I would love to see a video update. Even though I didn't give you money for this, I want to see a video update of how the process is going. All of this stuff is key. So that's just, again, a social media person. I mean, there's other folks that you could have on your team. A person who is probably a PR person is like ridiculously optimal, and it's very rare to find somebody who will do that for kind of like bare minimum money, if not any. But if you can get it, because press is good, any press is good. If you can get, you know, written up in Den of Geek, if you can get written up in all these great blogs that are, you know, very specific to certain types of films and certain types of cultures, you gotta definitely get it out there. But the key thing is you have to have I use the word gimmick in a very positive way, even though it sometimes has a negative thing, but you gotta have a gimmick with your campaign, because today it's not enough anymore just to be like, I'm launching a campaign. Yeah, you and 50,000 other people in the course of a month are.
Wow.
What makes yours different, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. John, tell me, what did you teach?
Oh, God. I taught everything. Whatever paid a bill, I taught. It was everything from creative writing to screenwriting to film and literature classes, all the way to humanities, Eastern philosophy, which is why my book has a very Taoist spin to it. It's kind of like, if you like the Tao of Poo, and you don't even want to know anything about crowdfunding, you could still read my book and get like a couple of life lessons out of it. From what I've been told. Thank you. Yeah,
well,
I taught everything.
Well, this is wonderful. Then you're mixing your spirituality with your film life and your creativeness. It's all part of you, right?
It's all part of the universe. So why shouldn't it be part of the book? Why shouldn't it be part of crowdfunding? Part of everything. I see everything as all 100% connected, which is why when I first went into crowdfunding, again, I was a person who knew, and I still to an extent know little about finance, because it's such a scary word sometimes. It's like, oh my God, money, that's scary. But when you take the idea of simplicity and just really stripping things down to the bare minimum, the bare bones of everything, life becomes so easy, so simple, so relaxed. And that's exactly what I did with the crowdfunding. I wasn't I was definitely stressed because it was the first time I did the campaign, but I took note of everything I learned, and that's kind of when I started seeing the more I struggled or the more I stressed, the more I actually didn't do well. And the more I just, you know, again, because one, like, I'll just give an example, like one of the, you know, one of the things I preach about is like coming up with things that are personalized for the audience, because everybody wants to feel special. So I remember, you know, when I came up with my $10 perk, and I think I talk about this in the book too, I came up with a great $10 perk before, you know, anybody else did it. It was the social media shout out. And I was so proud of myself. I was like, people are going to love this. I'll write it really nice. And then my girlfriend, Marinel, who is like the backbone of basically everything that I've done since the crowdfunding campaign and before, and up until now, she said to me, "That's boring." And I'm telling you, Cheryl, I was torn in half. I was like, "What do you mean that's boring? I'd love it if somebody did that." And then she said, "Be more creative." And I said, "What? Should I write a poem for everybody who gives me $10? Dead serious stare. She says, "Yes." Because wow. I'm a poet, right? Why am I deviating and just writing simple words that anybody could write? No, I'm a poet. Write a poem. But then go a step further. Write the poem in the form of the person's name, what we call an acrostic poem in the industry. I studied poetry. That's what I have my master's degree in. And I did that. I was afraid I was going to have to write like 50 poems. I wrote over 100 of them. But I'm telling you, it was crazy, you know. And for $10, which a lot of people, I tell people this idea all the time, and I give them personalized ideas to what their stories are. Well, why don't you do this? And they're like, "Oh, that's great. I could probably get 50 or 100 bucks for that." And I'm like, then you're not going to get many people giving you the money. You got to push it down to a certain level where almost everybody can afford it. And then you give that same perk to everybody at the $25, at the $50, at the $100 level, because then they're still going to get the most awesome thing, which is the most personalized thing, but they're going to want the DVD. They're going to want the T-shirt. They're going to want other things, and they're going to go up the ladder to see what they can fit into their budgeting. So, and again, the one thing I did learn about that experience of being, you know, very personalized with the perks is that, you know, we also, you know, Marinel would then format the poem in Photoshop, and then we'd paste it directly to the person's Facebook walls. We would always get a like. Yep. We would always get a like. I'd always get a comment. And they would always, most often, make it their profile picture. And I still, to this day, sometimes I look on Facebook and I see a few random Cerise, that was the name of my film, Cerise funders, who actually just put this as their profile picture, and it just warms my heart. And what it did was, every time they did that, 10 minutes later, I'd get 10 new contributions because people, their friends, wanted that poem in their name. And that was a big secret. You know, I gave a little extra, and I got a lot more than just funding. I got people's attention. I got their love. I know that when I launch another campaign, I have a very solid amount of people who are going to come to my aid because they kind of know that I'm going to still make everything about them, not about me or my project.
Fantastic. What a great idea. That's the way to go. It should be all about them.
Yep.
I think. And you had T-shirts also. What about the T-shirts? Did people send in pictures of themselves with T-shirts, or how did you work with that? Did that go well?
With the mailing T-shirts and things like that? With the other perks
that
I had?
With purchasing it or choosing that as their gift, was that a big seller?
I mean, the main thing, you know, again, I learned a lot of things. I put my DVD at like $50, which was a little bit expensive, especially since it was like a 22-minute short film it would ultimately become. But a lot of people would, you know, they would go from, you know, the poem, and then they would go to $25, which I think I gave a T-shirt, which today I'm really kind of against filmmakers giving out T-shirts, unless you have a really cool, like, it's got to be something unique. Like, I know there's going to be a campaign coming up soon for a zombie film with a nice, interesting spin to it called Z-Con. And basically, they have a T-shirt that says, they have a special edition exclusive T-shirt. These are all keywords that you want to throw out there. And on the back of the T-shirt, it'll say, like, week one funder or week one contributor. And you can only get that during week one. And it just, so it's like more of an exclusive thing as opposed to, like, what I did, which was, Cerise, and that was it, with the Indiegogo, logo that basically, wouldn't be usable after, by the time they got their T-shirt, because the campaign would be over. So these were all things that I learned, in general, but the T-shirts were actually decent sellers, and then the DVDs definitely sold at the $50 level. I even, I had a perk where I would give you, I would take you out to a Jersey diner, and that one kind of did well, but most of the people who gave that, gave to that level, don't live in Jersey, so I remember each one of them, so when they do come to Jersey, they'll be getting a diner treatment.
Oh, what fun. I'd love that. I love that. Well,
that's it.
Yeah. The thing is that I think T-shirts are not as personal unless you can find a way to personalize them. I like this. Week one, week two donor, contributor. I like that. Well, what a wealth of information you have. I don't think you can get as close to this unless you really have been in the trenches like you have and done a campaign yourself. It gives you a lot more information and more traction. So tell us how you advise people to choose the amount of money that they ask for. That sometimes I find is a major problem. People will call and say, well, I need $20,000. And then I'll say, fine. Now let's figure out how you're going to get it, and we go over their numbers and look at all the things, and the amount of money they want has really no relationship to the social currency, as you mentioned before, that they have. So how do you get people to choose a number that is in relationship to what, to where they are in the social currency world?
No, that's a great question. I'm still learning how to do this, and with Indiegogo, it definitely gives me a lot of practice at it. Because, again, when I first got here 9 months ago, I've been working at Indiegogo 9 months, I was very, I believed, and I still do, I honestly believe this in my heart and soul, that whatever amount you want to raise, you can raise it. I totally believe that. And then through, seeing campaign upon campaign and helping so many people, I've learned that, well, there's the goal, and then there's what you actually want to raise.
right.
And that was even brought to my attention more. I don't read much these days outside of anything film-related, so I don't really read the New York Times, but thankfully Marinel, does, and she read a great article that she forwarded to me. It was an interview with a guy named Hugh Martin on the importance of commitments, and there was a great section in there, which turned into a blog post for me, that basically talked about commitments versus goals. So basically, there's the goal. I want $5 million to make this film, but then there's what you can commit to raising, based on your social currency, based on your engagement level, based on your prior work, based on so many other factors, based on the time that you have to run a campaign. That's another really important factor. So again, you may want $5 million, but your following of 1,000 people on Twitter and 1,500 friends may help dictate the fact that you could probably commit, with your full-time job and a couple of freelance gigs, you can probably commit to raising $50,000 out of that $5 million, let's say. Now, some filmmakers might be like, well, I can't do anything with that. For me, real filmmakers, we can do everything with that because that starts the ball rolling. And I say that very proud because, again, I've made films that people swear to God they are, they cost me $100,000 to make, and I'm like, nope, $25,000. That's it. $25,000, maybe a little extra for some festival submissions, but that's about it. And they're floored by it. So I think we can always use whatever money we can raise, but we gotta, one thing you don't want to do when you're crowdfunding is set a crazy high goal, like let's say $500,000, and your social presence isn't great, but it's okay, and all that stuff, and you've got a decent email list, and your family loves you, but you're not sure they'll support you until the end, you know. But let's say you may have that goal of 500,000, but let's say you raise, out of that 500,000, let's say you raise 200,000, right? But that 200,000, let's say 250, just for the giggles, right? 250 out of 500,000, that's halfway, right? If my math is correct. And then it doesn't quite look like a success. It looks like you just fell half, you only got halfway there. But if you set your goal at 200,000 and you hit 250, now it looks like a massive success. And that's kind of the stuff that people, when they're looking for projects to crowdfund, and there are people who do look for projects to crowdfund, to give money to, they look for that. They look for the momentum that got built up in a campaign. They want to see that that film is going to be worth it. And if they go and they see that it's got $0 there or it's halfway, but the goal is crazy and they've got 2 days left and they're never going to make it unless somebody pops in $500,000, they're going to be less likely to give money to that. They want to see that you're winning. You know, they want to see that you set a reasonable goal, you're close to hitting it, if not already hit it, and you're actually going beyond it. And that's the key thing, is a lot of people think like, well, I need this, I can probably raise this, I'll raise that. But they don't, the one thing that I want them to realize is that people don't stop giving you money when you hit that goal. They actually are prone to give you more, to keep going, as long as you as the crowdfunder have stretch goals laid out, ready to go. You know, hey, we hit our, $50,000 goal. Now we've got 10 days left. If we can hit, 75, or no, that's a little too high there. But if we can hit 55,000, this is what we can do. If we can hit 70,000, this is what we can do, and this is what you'll get as a bonus. You know, and then you lay those out. Number one, you look like an absolute professional, not only as a filmmaker, but as a crowdfunder, to have everything laid out and ready to go. And two, people will come to your aid. They will step to the plate when you're winning the game already.
Yeah, they do. They love to be, they love to support a winner. That's who we
absolutely
are. That's right. Well, I really appreciate this information. There is a place around there when you're getting close to your goal that sometimes Indiegogo will come on board and help you reach it, or they will help promote the film. Do you know how that works? I'm not sure.
Yeah, when, there's a... Oh, sorry. Go for it.
Well, I don't know what the numbers are or what the percentage is or how close you have to be, but I do see Indiegogo working to help people get to that goal when they're close.
Yeah, definitely. And I can shed a tiny bit of light, not too much, because it's kind of a mystery to all of us here. I think there's like two people that understand the secret sauce to what we call our go-go factor.
Say that, John, because 2 years I've never figured it out. Okay.
Gotcha. No, it's and like I said, I the only thing I can really say is it's an algorithm that measures a campaign's engagement with the crowd. And that engagement can be a lot of things, from Facebook and Twitter to email to people commenting, any kind of engagement, which is why I said before, the crowd is always more important than the funding. But if you engage that crowd, you will get that funding. In this case, if you engage that crowd and they really love what you're doing and they're engaging with you, then the next, that's when Indiegogo, the algorithm kind of calculates stuff, and then, you can possibly get to be featured on the homepage, you can possibly get to be featured in the newsletter, and of course that taps you into not only the film audience, because that's what we've been doing as filmmakers, but you get to get tapped into Indiegogo's community of people who, yes, they do kind of scour the site occasionally looking for cool projects to fund. In Indiegogo, we fund everything, from films to games to babies, one baby so far. That might be a trend, you never know. To anything, if you can think it up and it's an awesome idea and the people come to your aid to fund it because they're passionate about it, that's what Indiegogo's for. And everybody, because of our algorithm, in the fact that we don't curate anything, everybody has a chance to be a star on Indiegogo. And that's a beautiful thing. But you have to earn it. We are 100% merit-based. So when you earn it, you definitely get the keep. I get to do a little bit of stuff. I run the Twitter account. I run my own Twitter account, which is literally at, you know, the at sign and my last name, Trigonis. And I also run the Indiegogo Film Twitter handle. And we have a nice little vibrant community of influencers that follow the hashtag GoGoFilm. And when I, you know, when I see campaigns that are, you know, film campaigns in particular that are standing out from all the other ones out there that are kind of just like, help make it happen, please support my project. I mean, this is good, but there's thousands of projects out there, thousands. You can't, you know, make it happen for my project doesn't work anymore. It doesn't make you stand out. You have to get creative. And when you get creative and you kind of push the envelope a little bit on the promotion, personalize that promotion, then you can possibly get on my radar, because obviously you'll stand out from all the other ones that I'm seeing going through my feed. And I will definitely do the retweet. I will definitely, sometimes I'll even tweet on your behalf. I'll just be, if I see a cool campaign and I see that they're really pushing and they're doing different things, I will write my own tweets for them, and I'll make them creative, and I'll send them out there, you know, to help the promotion, to help them tap into the GoGo Film community, to help tap into the Support Indie Film community, another very vibrant community of influencers out there. But I primarily do that all across Twitter, because that's my social platform of choice. And it definitely, you know, it definitely helps. But yeah, it's, you know, promotion is a big thing, but, you know, to promote properly, you have to get the word out there. And promotion, I don't even like the word too much. Again, there's some words that they mean one thing, but then, you know, if you come from a business background, you look at it as promotion, marketing, you know, brand building, whatever you want to call it. But in reality, it's really just relationship building. And yeah, it's an investment. It's a personal investment in your world, making your world a part of someone else's. And here's the key thing, vice versa. You have to make their world a part of yours. And I got to tell you, I am a part of so many people's worlds, and it's an absolute privilege for me to be a part, to know about this person's campaign, to keep in touch with this other person's campaign. A good friend of mine who ran a campaign on our site, I'm very proud. Today I saw that he landed in London for Rain Dance with his film that was crowdfunded on Indiegogo called 20 Million People, which is a fantastic film. They constantly work. They're winning festivals. They're winning awards. It's just an amazing experience. And I love it when I can see a tweet from, you know, the director, Michael Farrell, you know, that says, this is what I'm doing. It's a privilege for me to be able to keep in touch with these people. And it's a privilege, you know, and it also feels good to me when they read my stuff. And it's just, again, it's all about relationships and community building.
Relationships and community building. This is brilliant. Now, you said that pretty fast, so I want to make sure. It's hashtag GoGoFilm.
Yep.
Okay.
And if people mention Indiegogo Film with the at sign in front of it, all one word, Indiegogo Film, that they will be able to tap into me. And then, like I said, I you know, stand out, you know, push that envelope, and you know, I can definitely give a quick retweet and stuff like that, and tap you into the community. I mean, that's ways that I get to help, because again, I it's always, even with me, it's still based on merit. It's like I have to see that you're standing out. You know, you have to kind of boil to the surface, you know, in that sense. And the pond is thousands deep. Just on Indiegogo alone, thousands deep. So,
exactly. All right. This is such good advice. Now, you have a great chapter in the book. I want to mention that again, because I really enjoyed your book, Crowdfunding for Filmmakers. And it says, don't panic. Handling the fall between contributions. And boy, have I seen that happen. I come from the faith-based side. I get phone calls and I bring them off the ceiling and back down to reality and tell them that they have to keep doing, just keep on doing what you've been doing because it's been successful, and never doubt that the money will come from a strange source. You must keep on. Don't. When they panic, they go into fear sometimes, and they stop. They just stop working, thinking, well, that's it. I'm just never going to hit it. But what is your advice for these people?
Cool. My advice is definitely, you know, it's funny when you said, like, they get all fearful and stuff. The first thing I always think of is Donnie Darko, which is a movie that literally changed my life. And you know, it's just that whole like love and fear, and they're the two spectrums, even though I totally understand that there's so many more emotions in between, but it's like, if we click to that fear element, we panic, we get scared. Oh my God, this is the end. And we have, you know, my mentality is, and it's going to sound very hippie of me, but, you know, it's all about love. I mean, there is love money out there. There is people that will fall in love with your campaign if you give them the reason to fall in love with that campaign. And giving them the reason means, yes, definitely you're so on point. Definitely keep doing what you're doing. It is working. But the minute it starts kind of slowing down, you definitely have to start rethinking things and trying something totally brand new. Now, what I usually instruct people to do is to strategize ahead of time and plan for the lull. So I tell them, number one, to stave off the lull for as long as possible, have a strong start, build the momentum. So when you come out of the gates, you got a running start, which means you've put together what I call the host committee. It's what we call it at Indiegogo, and I'm sure it's an actual term. I just was too lazy to look it up. But it's a host committee is a bunch of people that you gathered together prior to the launch of the campaign. And you're basically you're explaining to them how important it is for them to be among the first people to jump on board, how much you really want them to be a part of it. And you tell them, I'm going to launch on this date. I'm going to send you another email on this date. And I really hope you'll fund it. This way, when you launch, those people will come to bat for you and they will give you that funding. You want to try to hit like 30% within the first few days, at most a week into your campaign, whatever amount you want, which is also why it's important to make that amount reachable. So 30%. And then it's probably going to start still go up and it's going to plateau. And then at every plateau, you want to foreshadow it. You want to add a new perk, something that's totally amazing. Something that Indiegogo does that is really awesome is a referral contest in which you give a special limited edition perk to the person who refers the most funding to your campaign from their networks, which is all trackable on Indiegogo. And then that should be done around the midpoint, and that is a huge booster for the campaign. So you're plateauing, you do a referral contest, that thing shoots up because now you've got the community coming to your aid and working with you. And it's never working for you. It's always working with you because this is a team effort. Again, community. And then by the end, there's always going to be a moment where you're going to have a strong finish. I mean, that's usually the typical thing, is strong start, strong end. But it's that middle ground where if you can plan ahead and just kind of lay in different things, you know, even like I said before, the stretch goals. My thing is, if you're running a 30-day campaign, try to hit your goal by the midpoint. Because then you can put to work your stretch goals and you can add in new goals, new perks, new activities of engagement, and possibly raise double your money by the end of it if you've planned it ahead. It's very difficult to kind of like do what I did when I first ran my campaign, which was when crowdfunding was very new, was, oh, my God, I'm panicking. What do I do? And again, thankfully I had Marinelle to give me those extra ideas. Why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? And, you know, at that point I was, you know, desperation kind of worked for me because I was like, I'll try anything. And a lot of times it was exactly what we needed to bring it to the next level. So planning ahead and and not panicking. And again, the only surefire way not to panic is to be prepared.
Yes, exactly. Okay, one last question. You've just been so enlightening, and some of the things you've told me I've never heard before. After 2 years, I learned.
Wow.
I was talking to a friend, and he said, "Oh, Carol, you really have got that crowdfunding down pat." And I said, "Oh, yes, I really think I know what I'm doing now." And I said, "What have you been up to?" He said, "Well, I just raised $100,000 on a campaign." And I said, "Oh my God, what did you do?"
Wow.
I will never again say I know at all. Nobody does.
Nobody does.
I don't care who you are. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your book mentions your crew, and it talks about the A-team. And you call them these elites that you have on your A-team. So tell me more about this.
Well, I think, and I'm trying to remember that chapter in my book, I remember that one. I had like three teams, like the A, B, and C team. And I believe the A team is like the like I was talking about before, the main people who are on your side, you know, the social media person, and this is really like not just like your main team of people who are going to be doing the work, but it's also the people who are involved in your film. We're filmmakers. We know the person who's going to be our DP, right? So why is that person not on the campaign? They should be, because again, it's the more we move into the future of crowdfunding, the more important what I'm calling the crowdfunding or campaign experience is going to be, because a campaign can't simply just be, hey, can you help me out with this project? It has to be, hey, envelop yourself in the world that I'm trying to build with your help. And part of that world is the team. So like on an Indiegogo page, for example, a lot of times I'll see like created by at the very bottom, and it'll have one lonely, solitary person down there. And that really doesn't give people much faith that you know what you're doing, because if you can't fill that area up with a few other people who actually share your vision, mainly the cast and crew,
yeah,
what are you doing this for? You know, how am I supposed to give you money if they don't even want to give you their pictures to put on the bottom of that campaign? So the team is very important. The A team is definitely everybody involved in your production. From, I don't care if they're the gaffer, to the person who orders the lunch, to the DP, to the main actors. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to do any work for you. They should, in my humble opinion, because if this project doesn't get funded, then possibly this project doesn't happen, and then those actors don't have an extra role that they can put on their reel. And again, it's all Taoism, it's all connected. One thing doesn't work, nothing can work. One thing works brilliantly, everything works. I'm living proof of that, thankfully. So that's your A team, is, you know, the cast, crew, et cetera. Your B team is anybody who's kind of giving those extra jobs. I think the B team in my book, I mentioned it's like social media person, putting together those people who have certain skill sets that you can definitely make use of. You know, so if, you know, a person's a producer, you know, but they're not producing this film, but they're a good friend of yours, try to get them, you know, to make a few phone calls for you on the side. Throw them an associate producer credit for it, you know. If he makes 10 phone calls. Yeah, I mean, hey, look, 10 phone calls, right, to 10 press people, 10 other companies may yield some funding or may yield some articles that may yield some funding. I think that's worth an associate producer credit. They're doing some work for you, and you have nothing to lose by asking, right? Absolutely nothing. And the C team, you know, I know I'm going through all of them, but I think it's important because my favorite one is the C team, because they're the team that came to my aid, and they're the team that always comes to campaign's aid, the community team. The one that you're building as you're going. Because again, when you send that thank you tweet to somebody who's, you know, not even funding you yet, but talking to you about your project, they deserve, a thank you. sometimes a follow. Sometimes you keep in touch with them, you know, and if they're going to eventually start work, you know, if they contribute and they start sharing your link because you're saying, like, you know, please RT, my thing is give them a title, put them on the team. You know, they're a player. So you know what? Give them the respect that they deserve. They're going above and beyond. And that's my three teams that I think every campaign can benefit from.
This is brilliant, brilliant information. So,
thank you.
Wow, wow. I've really learned a lot today. And I know as a physical sponsor, I see money coming in for films and documentaries, and sometimes it starts off with these small checks. And I always tell people that you treat the $25, $30 donations the same as you do the $2,000 or $3,000
mm-hmm.
donations, because a lot of times that's, well, let's just see what they can do. And then as your campaign starts moving, they come back, and they come back with larger amounts quite often, because they certainly do with mailing from the heart checks when it is for a film. They just are a little slow to let go of their cash, but once they see you are moving, they keep coming back to support you. So thank you so much for this. I really would love to know how people can reach you, where to buy your book, things like that.
Oh, definitely. Well, you can reach me on every social platform, all the major ones. Number one, I'm very active online, as you've probably gathered, as the audience has gathered here. But you can definitely find me on Twitter, at Trigonis is my personal Twitter, and I give a lot of crowdfunding advice on Twitter, which is actually coincidentally what started me off on the path to getting the book published and what landed me my job at Indiegogo, which I'm always very proud to say and to tell people. So Twitter is a massive tool, and I am there, so follow me, say hello to me, talk to me, and we'll engage. I'm also on Facebook, on Google Plus slightly. Google Plus hasn't kind of grown up yet, but hopefully one day it will, and that'll be a massive, great tool. And I'm also on LinkedIn. I don't check that too much. And, you know, direct email, if you're thinking of a campaign, you can always reach out to me, jtrigonis@indiegogo.com. That's me. And you can find my book on Amazon and I think it's in most Barnes & Nobles across the country, and it's definitely overseas as well. So anybody listening internationally, you can go to your local bookstore and maybe pick up a copy or sit down and read it there. You know, I mean, it helps to pick up a copy because, you know, the 10% might help eventually.
I know. It is a lot of fun to get those residual checks. I think it's the most fun of the year to look forward to those. People
Absolutely.
Only know how much time you put into writing and rewriting. And so that it is a treat to get that check from Michael Weiss. Because we're both
with
the same publisher. It's a great guy, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, John. I mean, you've just engaged us and educated us and enlightened us, and we all thank you very much.
Oh, I can't tell you enough how thankful I am to have opportunities like this and platforms like this to be able to share the goodness of crowdfunding and Indiegogo and what it can do.
Right. I'm a big Indiegogo fan. They have always been fully supportive, and technically they are brilliant, and the people that work there, I find, are of the highest quality and highest caliber. That's nice to know when you work with a company.
I'm telling you, I thank my stars every day that I'm here. It's a
sure.
great place.
Okay.
John,
it's been
wonderful. Yes.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you both again.
All right.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at fromtheheartproductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.